إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد إخوة وأخوات في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Inshallah, this is going to be a continuation of the explanation of the book Usul Sunnah by Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal alayhi rahmatullah. We stopped where the Sheikh says الإيمان بالقدر الخير والشر والتصديق بالأحاديث فيه والإيمان بها لا يقال لما ولا كيف إنما هو التصديق والإيمان بها ومن لم يعرف تفسير الحديث ويبلغ عقله فقد خفي ذلك وأحكم له فعليه الإيمان به والتسليم. الشيخ بأحاديث on Al-Qadr or some other things of belief, whoever does not understand the meaning should submit, because the fact that he does not understand the meaning does not mean that every other person does not understand the meaning of those ahadith. So he has to submit and he has to believe in them. The Shaykh gave example. He said, Mithlu hadith Sadiq al-Mazduq. What are the hadith of Sadiq al-Mazduq? This refers to the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, that Al-Imam Muslim reported. Likewise, Al-Imam Al-Bukhari and some others. The hadith says, إِنْ أَحْدَكُمْ يُجْمَعُ خَلْقُهُ فِي بَطْنِ أُمِّهِ أَرْبَعِينَ يَوْمًا. Certainly, the creation of one of you is formed or incarnate in the belly of his mother 40 yawman, 40 days. ثُمَّ يَكُونُ فِي ذَلِكَ عَلَقَةً. Then during the 40 days, he will be alaqa. Alaqa, that is a clot, that is a blood that has clotted. This is called alaqa. And this also are fetters in the lining of the womb of the uterus. So they call it alaqa. It clinges to the uterus. They call it alaqa. From alaqa ya'alaqu, or because it is blood that has clotted. So When we go back to the Quran and we go back to the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning the formation of the fetus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna khalaqna al-insana min nutfatin amshajin. Certainly we created man min nutfatin amshajin, from a nutfa. A nutfa is a drop. Amshaj means that he mixed together. The man has a nutfa and the woman also has a nutfa. We say nutfa means drop here, like, or a droplet. Just as we have it in the hadith that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam one day had janaba and he forgot that he had janaba. So he was about to lead the people in salah when he remembered. So he went back to his house, he took guslu and he came back. When he was back, it was said that وَرَأْسُهُ يَنْتُفُ مَاءً, water was dripping from his edge. So which means nutfa means a droplet, just a drop of something, of water. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says min nutfatin amshajin, it means that from the droplet of a man and that of a woman, so it is mixed together, it's called what? Nutfa amshaj. So here the hadith says, إِنَّ أَحْدَكُمْ يُجْمَعُ خَلْقُهُ فِي بَطْنِ أُمِّهِ أَرْبَعِينَ يَوْمًا. Certainly the creation of one of you is gathered in the womb of his mother, أَرْبَعِينَ يَوْمًا, and 40 days. ثُمَّ يَكُونُ فِي ذَلِكَ عَلَقَةً. Then during the 40 days, it will be alaqa, that is, it will be clots of blood. That is, the droplets will change to alaqa. We know in science, they will tell us that the somatosome of a man and the egg or the ovum of a woman, so when they meet, they form what we call zygote. So the zygote is the nutfa being referred to in the verse, min nutfatin amshaj. And after a few weeks, this nutfa amshaj, the zygote, will change towards embryo. So we change to embryo after a few weeks. Then from that, it will change to something of alaqa. So according to science, maybe by 40 days or so, that is 8 weeks or so, so the formation would have been completed somehow. That is the formation of the embryo. It become what? Fetus. Where after some days, the shape of the arm, the leg, the nose, the mouth will be formed. All this according to what the embryologist, what they will say, will take place within 42 days, 45 days. So when we look at this hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, I mean the report of Al-Imam al-Muslim, it does not go against what the embryologist has said. إن أحدكم يجمع خلقه في بطن أمه 40 يوما. Surely one of you is creation is gathered in 40 days. ثم يكون في ذلك علقة. During the 40 days, it will be علقة, clutch of blood. مثل ذلك, like that. ثم يكون في ذلك مضغة. Then it will become a kind of lump of flesh, like meat. So during the period as well, all this is said to be what? Within the 40 days, within the first 8 weeks. But when we go to the report of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, so one may not understand it this way. It may mean that maybe it will be nutfa, that is, it will be zygote for 40 days, then it will be clot for 40 days, that's 80 days. It will be flesh for 40 days, that is 120 days. That is what one may understand from the report of Al-Bukhari. And Nawawi in his Al-Arba'in make it clearer. I mean that understanding when he said what? إن أحدكم يجمع خلقه في بطن أمه 40 يوما نطفة. 40 يوما نطفة. ثم يكون علاقة مثل ذلك. But this does not agree with the modern science. Does not agree with the modern science. So, the report of Al-Imam Bukhari alayhi rahmatullah can still be understood, can be interpreted to agree with this report of Al-Imam Muslim. And everything will agree with the modern science. Everything will agree with the modern science. Meaning, being the droplet, and that is zygote, then turning to embryo, becoming what? Fetus. All can still take place within 42 days. And this, when you look at the hadith reported by Imam Muslim as well, and this is the hadith of Hudhayfa bin Asij. Hudhayfa bin Asij, radiallahu anhu. He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَدْخُلُ الْمَلَكُ عَلَى النُّطْفَةِ بعدما تستقر في الرحم بأربعين أو 45 ليلة فيقول يا رب أشقي أو سعيد. That is the malak, the angel who come to the nutfa, that is the zygote بعدما تستقر في الرحم, that is after it is what? It has been in the rahim, in the womb, the 40, that is 40 days after, or 45 later, or 45 days, فيقول, you say, يا رب, oh my Lord, أشقيون أو سعيد. That is, the nutfa, this zygote, is it going to be shaqi or sa'id? Is it going to be rashid or hati? That is the way it will lead his life after he's born into the worldly life. So he said, Fayuktaban, this will be written. Fayakul ay Rabb, he will say, oh my Lord, Azakarun aw Unsa, is a zygote, so to say, the nutfa, is it going to be male or female? Fayuktaban, this will be written. Wa yuktab amal, is deep. If he's born into the worldly life, will also be written. Wa atharu, is changes. Wa ajalu, is lifespan. Wa rizquhu, is sustenance, is provision. ثم تطوى الصحف فلا يزاد فيها ولا ينقص. Then the suhuf will be what will be folded. So nothing will be added and nothing will be reduced. So when we look at this asar, it shows that it is during the 40-45 days that everything will be concluded. And this agrees with what the modern science and what the embryologists what they say. So the hadith of Imam Muslim, the second one, that is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, does not go far away from that. Unlike when we take that of Al-Bukhari, that of Al-Bukhari can also be interpreted to agree with this. Unless if you had that addition which was added by Al-Nawawi in his Al-Arba'in. إِنَّ أَحْدَكُمْ يُجْمَعُ خَلْقُهُ فِي بَطْنِ أُمِّي أَرْبَعِينَ يَوْمًا نُطْفَةً. So that nutfa is not in the hadith. That nutfa is not in the hadith. إِنَّ أَحْدَكُمْ يُجْمَعُ خَلْقُهُ فِي بَطْنِ أُمِّهِ أَرْبَعِينَ يَوْمًا أَرْبَعِينَ يَوْمًا. Then he talked about things that will happen when it will become alaqa, it will become mudgha. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the glorious Quran talk about this. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنْسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ طِينٍ. We created man certainly مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ طِينٍ, that is from extracts of clay, referring to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُطْفَةً. Then we made him nutfa, a droplet, fi qarari makin, that is in a place that is accommodating. So referring to the zygote. Thumma khalaqna al nutfa ta'alaqa. Then we created the nutfa, the zygote, to be alaqa, to the clutch. We turn the droplets, we turn it towards alaqa, to clot of blood. فَخَلَقْنَا الْعَلَقَةَ مُدْغَةً. Then we created the alaqa, the clot of blood, towards mudgha, to be a lump of flesh. فَخَلَقْنَا الْمُدْغَةَ عِظَامًا. Then we turn the lump of flesh towards to عِظَامًا, to bones. That is, we created bones in it. فَكَفَّرْنَا الْعِظَامَ لَحْمًا. So we covered the bones with what? With meat, with flesh. ثُمَّ أَنْشَأْنَاهُ خَلْقًا آخَرًا. Then we made it into another creation. فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. And blessed is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the best of the creators. So, like that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِنَ الْبَعْثِ فَإِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ ثُمَّ مِنْ عَلَقَةٍ ثُمَّ مِنْ مُدْغَةٍ مُخَلَّقَةٍ. So we created you from nutfa, from the droplet, that is the mixture of the somatosome of the man and the egg or the ovum of the woman. So that becomes what? Mutfa and Shams. Mixed Mutfa, which later turned into what? Alaqa, into clot of blood. Thumma min mudghatin mukhallaqatin. Then from mudgha, that is lump of flesh, mukhallaqa, that we formed into human. By forming the legs, the hands, the eye, the nose, the mouth, مخلقة, forming the brain, وغير مخلقة, and one that is not مخلقة. So that is, maybe some like that will have what? A drop, will not have those things, and that's why we say what? Maybe a human a woman has what? Miscarriage. She miscarried the baby. غير مخلقة. لنبين لكم ونقر في الأرحام ما نشاء. Now to explain to you, and we make this be in what? In the arham, in the wombs. ما نشاء, that is what we will. إلى أجل مسمى. To a specific period. ثم نخرجكم طفلا. Then after that, we bring you out of the wombs, طفلان, as babies. So this is very clear in the Quran. That is what the embryologists will say today. These verses of the Quran explain it, and it's something that is very, very clear. So the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu telling us the day, 40 days. So we said, if we want to go by that of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, one may understand it to mean that what the nutfa will remain for 40 days, the alaqa will remain for 40 days, the mudra will remain for 40 days, altogether being what? 120 days. But the modern science does not conform with that. Because if they are to look at the embryo or the fetus, so in the first 8 weeks or 9 or so weeks, they will see the formation of what? Of the baby. The signs of the legs, the arms, things like that will be there. So which means we can't say to remain in the womb as mutfa, as droplet for 40 days. Then to remain as alaqa, as a clutch of blood for what? Another 40 days. So this does not agree with the reality. So here it is the interpretation of the hadith that will have problem, not the hadith itself. And at times when scholars of hadith, when they report hadith, there may be slight changes in the wordings of the hadith. And this will be as a result of human watch, human error. So when somebody tells you something, it tells you something in a group. If you want to convey what you have said, you may not be able to convey it with the exact words that you have said. So the problem will be from you now, not from the person that has said it. Not from the person that has said it. So if there is a mistake in the conveyance of the message, you, the one that has conveyed the message, you have what? The error, not the person that has said it. So in a hadith, at times, there will be something like this, and it's not restricted to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's something that affects everything that we call reports. Let's assume that a governor says something here, and the reporters from different media house or houses came to report the same event. There will be slight changes or slight differences in their report of the event, in their report of what he has said. So, and this is what General has said, is not peculiar to the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam alone. It's something that is what? That is general. So, and that's why the best, wallahu alam, is to stick to the report of Al-Imam Muslim, which conforms with the other hadith as well, the hadith of Uzayf ibn Hatij, talking about the formation, that is the formation in 40 something days, 45 days, or 42 days, as we have in some of the reports, which agrees with the modern science. But when we go by the Quran, there is not any contradiction between what the Quran has said and what the modern science has said. But when it comes to what the week that the formation of the baby, so to say, will be completed, or I mean the not completely, but the formation of the hands, the legs, the mouth, the nose, when this will be physical somehow, so by 40 something days, this would have been what? This would have been concluded. So, the reason why the author has brought the hadith of As-Sadiq al-Masduq, is because of the issue of Qadr. Because of the issue of Qadr. So you have to believe in the hadith. And the content of the hadith, when you do not understand the hadith or its content, so you leave it. That doesn't mean that you say the hadith is rubbish. You leave it for those who understand the hadith. So you leave it. So in the hadith, as we are reading, the hadith says what? ثُمَّ يُوصَلَ الْمَلَكُ. Then the angel will be sent. فَيَنْفُخُ فِي الرُّوحِ. Then the angel will breathe into the fetus, الروح, that is the soul. When is this going to take place? This is going to take place after 120 days. The scholars of Islam, past and present, they agree on that. Now the modern scientists, they will say the zygote is what is living somehow from what? From zygote to embryo, from embryo to fetus. So this will be changing. This will be changing. So it's not this life that scholars of Islam are talking about. The life that will be breathed into the fetus is not this one. That one will not come until after 120 days. That one will not come until after 120 days. That is when the pregnancy is formed. That is when the soul will be breathed into the fetus. And any person that terminates the pregnancy at that time has the name of somebody who has killed a soul. If the pregnancy is terminated by the fourth month, that is after 120 days, the person that does that has the name of somebody who has killed a soul. If he does that deliberately, he has not the ruling of the one who has killed his soul. If he does that mistakenly, maybe by taking some drugs that eventually lead to what? To miscarriage. So the same thing happens. And that person is going to pay dear for that, the blood money for that, which will be inherited by other heirs apart from the one who has contributed or who has carried out the miscarriage. And this is the ruling given by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning two women who are married to a man. So they have a kind of quarrel between them. So, and the other one had to throw something that hit the other one in the stomach, and that led to what? Miscarriage of the pregnancy. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the judgment that there should be hurra, abdin al hamam, that is, the deer is a slave girl, a little slave girl or a little slave boy. Today there is no slave, but the equivalent of that is five camels. Five camels, that is the equivalent of the little slave girl or so. Then there will be kafara again, according to the way their opinion, which is to set free a slave. To set free a slave, there is no slave, so the person will fast 2 months consecutively for dropping the fetus. For dropping the fetus. This is after, if it happens after 4 months. So this is what there is a tifaq on that. The scholars agree on that. But the person that aborts a pregnancy before that time. If a woman aborts a pregnancy before the fourth Muj, here the scholars, they all agree this is wrong. And she's sinful for doing that. She's sinful for doing that. But what is the iqab or the uquba for that, the punishment for that? Now, if there is no any genuine reason for that, if there is no genuine reason for that, the person is sinful. But if there is genuine reason, the genuine reason may be, take for instance, maybe the doctors, they've carried out the test and they discover that the child is deformed somehow. If this is established, so then it can be terminated. Because the ruh, the soul, has not imprinted in it. Yes, there is formation of the hand, the leg, the eye, the brain, everything. It has become what? Mudghama, mukhallaqa. But for the fact that this, the soul has not been built in it, so, and there is a genuine reason for dropping it, that is for aborting it, which is what, because you said the child will be deformed. So this is overlooked according to the fatwa of the Majami Fiqhiyya and a lot of scholars. But there is no genuine reason, so the person is sinful, as we said. Now, some scholars are of the opinion that such a person will still pay dia for that because of the formation of the hand, because it has brought the shape of a human being. So dropping it will make the person pay the dia and the kafara for that. And this is the view of the Malikiya. Likewise, the Shafi'iya, they have similar view, the Hanabila. They have views similar to these two. Because it has taken the form of human beings. So you don't have the right to abort it. If one aborts it before the fourth moon without a genuine reason, so this, according to them, will be there will be dia and there will be kafara. So as I said, it's not okay to terminate the pregnancy. Some of the scholars said what in whatever stage the pregnancy is, it's not permissible to terminate it unless with a genuine reason. Even if it's still within the 40 days where the legs and the legs have not been formed, it hasn't taken the form of what of human being, it's not okay to terminate it. If the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam refers to the withdrawal method as adwadul khafi, that is a hidden barrier, so what about when there is what, when it has become not farmshad, it has become a zygote, it has become an embryo, and it has become what, a fetus, even if it has not become mukhallaqa. Sandaz al Malikiya, they are harsh on this, that you should not drop the pregnancy in any stage unless if there is a genuine reason for that. But for somebody to say, we'll drop it because we cannot take care of a new baby, we already have enough. So the Quran speaks against that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ خَشْيَةَ إِمْلَاكٍ نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُهُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ. Do not kill your babies for fear of poverty. We'll provide for them and you. The other verse says what? وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ مِنْ إِمْلَاكٍ. This one refers to somebody who already has a baby. But he feels that the babies or the children are too many. He cannot take care of all of them. He can't provide for all of them. So he says, for instance, let me keep some of them. Let me bury some of them the way the Arabs would do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا بُشِّرَ أَحَدُهُمْ بِالْأُنثَى ظَلَّ وَجْهُهُ مُسْوَدًّا وَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. When the wife of one of them delivered a baby, and he was informed, giving the tidings that his wife had given birth, he asked, male or female? If he was told that it was a female, ظَلَّ وَجْهُهُ مُسْوَدًّا وَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. So his face would turn black, and he will be disturbed. He will feel bad. Allah says, يَتَوَارَ مِنَ الْكَوْمِ مِنْ سُوءِ مَا بُشِّرَ بِهِ. He will hide. He will be hiding from the people because of the bad tidings that have been given to him. أَيُمْسِكُهُ عَلَىٰ هُونٍ. He will not know what to do. Should he take the charge with the ignominy? أَمْ يَدُسُّهُ فِي التُّرَابِ. Or he should go and bury the baby girl the way others would do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ مِنْ إِمْلَاكٍ. Don't kill your children because you are poor. That is, the poverty is already there. There's somebody is contemplating killing some of his children in order to free himself from this poverty. Allah says, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ مِنْ إِمْلَاكٍ نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكُمْ وَإِيَّاهُمْ. So we provide for you and them. So the other one, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ خَشْيَةَ إِمْلَاكٍ. That is, you are not poor, but you feel that if this child should come again, you can't take care of the child. So let me terminate the pregnancy. So Allah said, don't do that. خَشْيَةَ إِمْلَاكٍ, because for fear of what? For fear of poverty. So Islam is against abortion, unless if there is a genuine reason for that. This reminds me of a case that happened to one of our brothers. Things were very difficult for the brother, and his wife had a pregnancy. The wife was pregnant. So the brother was contemplating terminating the pregnancy. So a friend of his contacted me to know the real about this. So I discouraged them, and I told them that this is wrong. The brother listened, and he did not terminate the pregnancy. So years later, the brother said, you want somebody to come and greet me. So, and that person happened to be the child whose pregnancy they wanted to terminate then. The child had graduated from the university, and I think he got married about 2 or 3 years back. So he was not telling me that what if you had terminated the pregnancy, he wouldn't have had his joy to give. So at times you feel that things are hard for you, for this reason maybe you shouldn't have this baby, the pregnancy should be terminated. This is the thinking of somebody who does not believe in Qadr, somebody who does not rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you can't feed yourself, you can't feed yourself. If you are the only person, you are not feeding another person, you are not taking care of another person. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the thing that you will not be able to take care of yourself, will not be able to do that. Another attack to somebody, when he's alone, is not making it. But when he gets married, he will be making it. When he takes a second wife, things will boom the more. So if the one that will be the richest person is the one who has no wife, Anybody who has seen this. By the time you see somebody who has more wives, will be what? Will be more okay. Why the one who has one wife will not be as okay as the one who has more than a wife? The one who doesn't have a wife at all will not be okay, huh? As the one who has a wife. So it shows that what it is not your own making. It is the making of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ خَشْيَةَ إِمْلَاقٍ. Don't kill your children خَشْيَةَ إِمْلَاقٍ, because you are afraid of poverty. No poverty yet, but one is afraid that if I should have this, maybe I may become poor. And that's why you see some people say, I'm not going to have more than two children so that I can take care of them. I can send them to university, do this or that. Who tells you that you'll be able to send them to university? Who tells you that you'll be able to take care of them? If Allah has not destined that, wallahi, you can't do it. Wallahi, you can't do it. So one should not, because of poverty, say one is not going to have what, more than two children, more than three children, because you want to treat them well. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that provides. So the point here is that abortion is something that is wrong Islamically. It must be for a genuine reason. For a genuine reason. If at all one is going to do it, it must be for a genuine reason. And if the pregnancy has gotten to 4 months, so in that case, the reason that will make one terminate it is when it is proven that it is going to affect the life of the mother. These scholars, they almost have a unanimity on it. If it is proven that it is going to affect the life of the mother, the life of the mother is what? That is at risk. But it is because the child is going to be deformed. They say, no, you can't terminate it for that reason too. Because soul has been beaten into it. But for some of the scholars, they said, even if the life of the mother is at risk, you can't terminate it. That is the fear of Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen alayhi rahmatullah. He said, because two souls are involved now, you can't give precedence to the soul of the mother over the soul of the child. But most of the scholars, and most of the fiqh academies are of the opinion that if soul has been breathed into it and the child is going to affect the mother, the life of the mother, in this case, it can be terminated. It can be terminated. These most scholars have said. Now the scholars will caution on unnecessary fear. At times the doctors may say, okay, there is deformity, there is this, like that, which may not be correct. One of the Mashai gave an example of somebody that the doctor, they said the pregnancy or the fetus, so to say, is 70% deformed. That is, it's 70% probability that the child is deformed. But the Sheikh discouraged the person from what? From terminating the pregnancy. After the child was delivered, the child had no deformity. The child was healthy. There was another case of somebody that was so similar to him, but the Sheikh said, no, since soul had been vivid in the womb, you don't have the right to terminate the pregnancy. So the man just took it like that. And when the child was giving birth to, nothing of deformity happened to the child. And the child grew up to be the best child of that man. The Sheikh said he was now reminding him of what he wanted to do years back. So look at the child now. If you are terminated in pregnancy, then you are pardoned. So many things like that. So the point here is that it is not allowed to terminate the pregnancy if the soul has been treated in it, except if it constitutes a kind of danger to the life of the mother. In a situation like this, most scholars are of the opinion that it can be terminated. So, the hadith says, فَيَنْفُقُ فِيهِ الرُّوحُ وَيُمَرْ بِأَرْبَعِ كَلْمَاتِ will be commanded to write four things. That is, the angel will come again, that is, after 120 days. You know, in the hadith of Udayf ibn Asij, something of that had been written. So this will be written again. بِكَثْبِ رِزْقِهِ وَأَجَلِهِ وَعَمَلِهِ وَشَقِيٌّ أَوْ سَعِيجٍ هو الذي لا إله غيره إن أحدكم لا يعمل بعمل أهل الجنة حتى ما يكون بينه وبينها إلا ذراع فيسبق عليه الكتاب فيعمل بعمل أهل النار فيدخلها. إن شاء الله we stop here, we complete it another time إن شاء الله. سبحانك ربنا وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. نعم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله باش. Is it true that the qadar can be changed during Ramadan? نعم, we know that the qadar has stages. The qadar has what stages? The one that has been written eternally, and the ones that will be written to cover the lifespan of the child, then the one that will be a yearly one, that is that of Ramadan. So it's not that they are changing, but the ones that will be exposed, that will be made known to the angels, so this is what it means. So nothing changes the qadar except what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said. And this will be changing the qadar to what has been written. To what has been written. So it's not that the qadar is really changing. But so and so person will do so and so to get so and so. This has been in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning if you have not done so and so, he would have remained so and so. But he would do so and so for him to watch to become so and so. So this is what is qadar. So this is qadar. So Allah a'lam. No. Okay. Alhamdulillah, salatu wassalam ala rasulillah. The issue of marriage in Islam is something that is explained and is detailed. The basis, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ya ma'ashar al-shabab, man istata'a minkum al-ba'a falyatazawwaj." He addressed the community of the youth. He said, whoever amongst you is able to get married should get married. Then he told them the benefit of marriage. He said, فَإِنَّهُ أَحْصَنُ الْفَرْجِ وَأَغَدُّ الْبَصَرِ. As a youth, when you get married, this will protect your private parts. You will not misbehave. Then it will make you lower your gaze more. Because somebody who is having a sexual urge and he knows that he has a wife, even a woman that is having sexual urge, she knows she has a husband. The matter is simple. But somebody who is having this sexual urge, male or female, if he or she does not have where to legally satisfy himself or herself, so it's likely or she is likely to go the wrong way because the urge is there. So, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ. As for whoever does not have the ability to do that, فَعَلَيْهِ بِالصَّوْمِ, it should be fasting. فَإِنَّهُ لَهُ وِجَاءٌ. Fasting is going to watch, reduce the urge. Somebody who is hungry, the sexual urge will not be coming. Even if it's coming, it will be reduced. فَإِنَّهُ لَهُ وِجَاءٌ. Then Islam says, وَلْيَسْتَعْفِفِ الَّذِينَ لَا يَجْدُونَ نِكَاحًا أَتَّى يُغْنِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِ. The Quran says, those who do not have the ability to get married should look for a way of عِفَّة. فَلْيَسْتَعْفِفِ, should look for a way of عِفَّة. That is the way to curb himself from committing zina. حَتَّى يُغْنِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. See, Allah enriches them from His bounty. Huh? Till Allah enriches them from His bounty. Now, the hadith also says, لِحَسْبِ إِبْنِ آدَمْ لُقَيْمَاتِ يُقِبْنَ صُلْبًا. It is not for a son of Adam, لُقَيْمَاتِ, to eat from Moses, that will just make him able, make him okay. So not that one will eat. So you eat some muscle and you save. So when you save money, you'll be able to prepare for what? Getting married. And inshallah, you get somebody that befits you. The problem with a lot of people is that we do more than what? More than we have. So we bite more than we can chew. So there are people who have children who are looking for those to marry their daughters. They are poor too. And they are looking for those that will marry their daughters. So you can get there, rather than what, looking for the child of or the daughter of a rich man to marry, that will be demanding much from you. What I'm trying to say is that Islam has made it easy for people to get married. But if you cannot still get it, you watch, you fast, as the Messenger of Allah, Allah has recommended. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the clear verse, Allah says, وَأَنْكِحُوا الْأَيَامَ مِنْكُمْ وَالصَّالِحِينَ مِنْ عِبَادِكُمْ وَإِمَائِكُمْ. And marry, that is, look for women to marry, or ladies to marry, for those who do not have wives amongst you. Those who do not have husbands among your girls too, you should look for husbands for them. وَأَنْكِحُوا الْأَيَامَ, الْأَيَامَ مِنْكُمْ. Al-ayama means the plural of ayyim, somebody who is not married here in this context, male or female. وَأَنْكِحُوا الْأَيَامَ مِنْكُمْ وَالصَّالِحِينَ مِنْ عِبَادِكُمْ وَإِمَائِكُمْ. Even those who are righteous among your slaves, look for a way of having a wife for them, finding a wife for them. إِنْ يَكُونُوا فُقَرَاهَا. If they are poor, يُغْنِمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Allah is going to enrich them from His bounties. So this verse is telling us that you can still get married without doing more than what, more than you have, or biting more than you can chew. So it depends on the way we look it. Somebody say he doesn't have what the financial wherewithal to get married. What is your budget? What is your target? So if your target is that you want to marry the daughter of a rich man, yes, you may not have it. But if you are looking for a poor person like you, most likely you'll get. And you manage together. There are people who are declared to be the richest people today. They started from what? From nothing. They did not have. So if Allah encourages us to support those who do not have wives among us to have wives, it shows the issue of satisfying sexual urge is something that Islam takes seriously. You don't satisfy your sexual urge in a haram way. So this issue of just having a child and leaving them, or having children, leaving them, begging on the streets will not come in if you don't do more than what? More than yourself. Wallahu a'lam. IVF, is it permissible? Now, is IVF permissible in Islam? Scholars, they differ on that. Scholars differ on that. And the reason for this is that the one that is going to undo it, the person is likely to toy with the egg, that is the ovum of the lady, and the sperm of the man. So they may use the egg of another woman for another man. So which will mean that the child, if eventually given birth to, is not the child of the man. How this is clear. So, but majority of the scholars and majority of the fiqh academies, they said if this can be managed, that is like a doctor that is trustworthy, that is going to undo this, is going to take the egg of the wife and that of the sperm of the husband and undo both of them in such a way that it eventually lead towards zygote, embryo, fetus like that, it is delivered, that there is nothing wrong with this. This is what the fiqh academies are upon. However, some scholars, they are of the opinion that it's not permissible. Among those scholars is Sheikh Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah. His argument is that having a child is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not a necessity that you have a child in this world. It's something that one loves to have, one loves to have. But you can't say it's a necessity that if you don't have a child, that it's like what? You are not existing at all. So that people do not have their children. For you to not expose your aura to somebody that will be toying with your sperm, toying with the egg of the wife, so this, the Sheikh says it's not something that you say is a darura. So however, Allahu a'lam, the view of the majority of the scholars is wavier. If you have a reliable medical doctor that is going to undo this and will not mismanage it. We know today people, they donate farm, they donate this, that this issue of surrogacy and things like that. So which are not in line with the teachings of Islam. So Allah a'lam. Yes, surrogacy is not permissible in Islam, because a woman cannot assist another woman to carry the fetus is not allowed. So even if they belong to the same husband. So mother carries for daughter, so this is not, two wives belonging to the same husband, they cannot do that, because they are different mothers. So, and the child was ascribed to the father and the mother, so this is not allowed, Allah Alam. Now, last question. Now, somebody tells you that you enter hellfire. So, what should be your reaction to such a person, or what is Islamic position on what the person has said? Now, it's not okay for you to tell a particular person that you enter hellfire, because you don't know what will become of that person, and you don't know what will become of you. So, what you can say is that whoever does so and so will go to hellfire. So and so, people with so and so qualities will go to hellfire. But you, with so and so quality, you are going to hellfire. You can't specify that you, with so and so quality, you are going to hellfire. Unless you have a text that says that. If you don't have a text that says that, you can say big general statement. Huh? Whoever does so and so will go to hellfire. Whoever says so and so will go to hellfire. But you pointing at a particular person that you are going to hellfire, so this is not allowed. It's just like you telling somebody, you are going to Al-Jannah. You can't tell somebody that. But you can say whoever does so and so or says so and so will go to Al-Jannah. So but to take a particular person and say you are going to Al-Jannah, there must be a text that says that person is going to Al-Jannah, because we do not know what will become of the person that you have watched pinpointed that is going to Al-Jannah. As we shall read from the concluding part of the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Subhanaka lahumma bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allahu Akbar.